Turning to the book of Philippians chapter 1, while you're turning to it, can I say I'm deeply humbled and honored tonight to be able to preach at this rally. It was in the mid-1960s that I began to attend the then Ravenhill Free Presbyterian Church. And tonight, as Lord Vanside recounted some of the history, it certainly touched a chord in my heart. As we think of the blessings of those days, the Ulster Hall rallies, the scores of souls that were saved, the building of this meeting house. Unfortunately, I wasn't here for the opening because my wife and I went into missionary training and just before the building was opened, though we used to guard it on a Monday night, every Monday night, then go off to work. But I, on behalf of my wife and I, want to sincerely thank you, Dr. Paisley, and Baroness Paisley, for your friendship over these years. As a teenage boy coming to the church here, we looked upon you as a father and mother in the Lord. I do rejoice my parents knew the Lord, and of course knew you as well, Dr. and Mrs. Paisley, but for your fellowship over the years and your friendship and support, without which we wouldn't be here tonight. The brethren and the committee have instructed me and ordered me to speak upon the subject, preaching the 60 years Christ and Him crucified. So being obedient to my brethren, we're going to do that. And I want to focus my remarks upon the book of Philippians and chapter 1. The book of Philippians chapter 1, verse 5 speaks of, "For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day on till now." From the first day until now. We're continuing the theme that Dr. Paisley began. The gospel of Christ. Paul was actually in Rome when he wrote this letter. He was in prison, and he sent this letter back to the congregation at Philippi, probably about 1,000 miles away. And what he's basically saying is this in the early verses, that when I lie in this prison cell, I think back to your congregation in Philippi. And as I think back, he says here in the verse, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." In verse 4, he speaks of his joy. He's praying for them all. I want you to notice in verse 7, he speaks about having you in my heart, the middle of the verse. Look at the end of verse 8, "I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ." What he's saying is this, when I think of the church, that church to which I fellowshipped, that church which of course he had commenced. He said, when I think about it, I joy. I thank God. He says, I love this church. That's what he means by the bowels of mercy. He means from his very innermost being. And we can say tonight, in the same words as Apostle Paul here, we joy at the history of the Free Presbyterian Church. We thank God for this denomination, and we can say we love this church.
Amen.
Now, we love the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church. Our loyalty and love is to Him uppermost. But if you love the Lord, you'll love what the Lord loves, and the Lord loved the church and gave Himself for it. And this is the church into which God has called us and blessed us over these years. And so we sincerely say that we love this church. It's so tremendous to see so many of you young people here tonight. It really is tremendous. Now, young people, it's good to remember the past. I know I've become a grandfather, and I'm sure the grandchildren at times says, "Oh no, there's Granda again telling the stories of the past." And I remember hearing once great men repeat themselves. And stories, maybe your granda keeps telling you the stories. But seriously, young people, it's important that you hear the past. Do you know in the book of Deuteronomy, which means the second law, Moses gave the Ten Commandments at the end of the wilderness journey as well as at the beginning, 40 years later. And 16 times he told the second generation, remember that you were bond men in Egypt, but the Lord delivered you. They weren't alive in Egypt. They weren't literally physically delivered out of Egypt, because most of them were born in the wilderness, but they were part of the same congregation. And God told them to keep anniversaries every year to remember the event of the formation of the congregation of Israel being brought out of the bondage of Egypt. So it's good tonight that we remember how God brought this church into being, brought us out from the bondage of liberalism and modernism under which some believers were sitting in those days. Of course, the word remember that Moses used has the connotation of rejoicing, and we're here tonight to rejoice, and we're here to rededicate ourselves. You see, young people, you need to know where we came from, so that you'll know who we are as Free Presbyterians, so that you'll be able to confidently go into the future. Amen. Oh, that tonight, and those who arranged this meeting, we wanted to be a night of commemoration and of celebration to God, but we wanted to be a night of consecration.
That's right.
Wanted to be a night of consecration to the Lord. And to base our remarks on this theme, I believe that the theme of this book is joy. More than that, joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to do some study, young people, go through the book and underline the times that the word Lord appears, 15 times, Christ 36 times, and then you have the word Jesus so many times. It's joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I was struck as I studied this book recently that word that Dr. Paisley mentioned to us, gospel, five times in the first chapter, the gospel. And I would say tonight that the reason for the commencement of this denomination, for the consolidation of the work, and for the continuation of the work over 60 years, is in this, that this church has stood for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It has stood for Christ and Him crucified. Do you know there are many churches in this land that talk about Christ? They talk about Him as a wonderful man, as a wonderful teacher, His ethical and moral statements in the Sermon on the Mount and so on, and His wonderful parables. And they talk about the greatness of His teaching, and people are sent home unregenerated, unsaved. Because the gospel is not that Christ preached great truths, though He did, and we preach those. The gospel is that He who came into the world, God the Son, took a human nature and a human body, and He lived that holy, righteous life. And He came into this world for mine hour to go to the cross. And it's there on Calvary when He shed His precious blood that our atonement was won, it was accomplished, it was finished. And if you don't preach Christ and Him crucified, listen, there is no gospel. The gospel is in 1 Corinthians 15 that the Lord Jesus Christ, He died, He was buried, and He rose again the third day. You must preach Christ. And I had the joy as a young teenager to sit under the preaching of Dr. Paisley and to hear Christ preached. And this church still stands to this day for the preaching of Christ and Him crucified. That's the secret of this church. Let me go through these very quickly tonight with you. I want you to notice verse 17. There's a little expression. The faith of the gospel. The faith of the gospel. You know, that speaks to me of the formation of this church. If you go back to verse 5, quickly it tells us there that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You're going to continue. But verse 5 speaks from the first day until now. What happened the first day? The Apostle Paul came to the city of Philippi. There was no church there. He came and he went to the riverside where Jews would meet, and he met a lady called Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened as Paul preached. There was a young girl who was exploited by her masters, and she was gloriously converted. And oh, we mourn. It's great to see so many young people here tonight, but we mourn how so many young people in society are being exploited by the drug seller and the alcohol seller and the purveyors of so-called modern music with their sinful lyrics. Adults. Sometimes people talk about the youth culture. There's no such thing as the youth culture. No, young person, there's no such thing. All those sins are promoted by adults to make money out of the young.
That's
But a young girl was saved. And then the Philippian jailer was saved. It was a work of God, the Holy Spirit, that called these people out through the preaching of the gospel. And Paul's name will always be synonymous with the church at Philippi. Do you know the story of the Free Presbyterian Church is just the same as here? Because Dr. Paisley, as a young evangelist, went to Crossgar preaching the same gospel of Christ and Him crucified that the Apostle Paul preached. And people were saved, some of them, in this meeting. And Dr. Paisley's name will always be synonymous with the Free Presbyterian Church.
That's right.
A congregation was formed. It was formed because they wanted to hear more about the glorious gospel. That's why Crossgar was formed. Dr. Paisley told us what happened. Those elders, in fact, it wasn't so much that they left. They were put out. They were said, "Do you agree with the presbytery stopping the mission?" "No, no, no," they answered. "Well, then you're suspended. We're going." And it was a positive separation. Our church for years has been criticized by people. "Oh, you Free Presbyterians are always negative." No, no, listen. Those men were not negative. Romans speaks of separation unto the gospel. It's because those men and women wanted to hear the gospel preached in its purity that they said, "We need a church." They didn't want to start just another denomination. There already were many denominations in Northern Ireland. But Dr. Paisley and those other men and women, they wanted a church where Christ would be preached and Him crucified. And of course there's a negative aspect to separation. You separate unto the gospel. It means you separate from those who deny the gospel. And they didn't want to be in a church that included ministers who denied the virgin birth. And young people, it may shock you, but I could take you to Presbyterian churches within a few miles of this building, where there were men when I was a teenager who openly denied that Christ was virgin born. I remember a lady at our door. We had just come back from missionary training, talking to my father. She'd come for a completely different purpose, and they got talking, and for some reason he then criticized Dr. Paisley, and my father, of course, winding them up. I'll never forget this, said, "Oh, what's wrong with Dr. Paisley?" "Oh, Dr. Paisley attacked our minister." And my father, of course, admired Dr. Paisley, but said, "You mean a minister attacked your minister? I wonder why he did that." Just because our Presbyterian minister doesn't believe in the virgin birth. And then my father, of course, well done on Dr. Paisley. The Lord bless him. And then the lady didn't stay too long. I could take you to Presbyterian Church, I'll pass it on the way home, where the minister stood up and said, "Christ didn't really walk on the water. The disciples just thought He did." In Monieslane, where I was minister for a while, the local clerk of session of one Presbyterian church, he left because that minister said the same in it. And then he said the book of Revelation is just the nightmares of John. It's not inspired. He left. He was one of the founder members of Monieslane. They went to another man in the congregation and said, "Would you take over superintendent?" He says, "No, I'm going to the Free Presbyterian Church too." And the late George McKnight, remember Brother George? He was the clerk of session of the other Presbyterian church that was near Monieslane. And he left. Thank God for these men who took their stand.
Amen.
And it was because of the faith of the gospel. That's the formation of this church, the faith of the gospel. But look at verse 5. The fellowship of the Free Presbyterian Church. Isn't this wonderful? The fellowship of the gospel. What does the word fellowship mean? Well, it means partaker, communion. Actually, I have a coin. Do you know in the Greek that's the first four letters of that word, koinonia? What's a coin? A coin is a common method of currency. You go into any shop in the United Kingdom, put that down, they'll say, "We accept that because we have it all in common. We have a common currency." That's the meaning of the word fellowship. It's more than simply a cup of tea and refreshments, though we thank God for those, and it's good to eat and fellowship together in that sense, but it's deeper. It's deeper. We in this church have partnership. We have something in common. It's a special fellowship. It's because of the faith of the gospel. It's because we have shared the experience of being saved by the atonement of Christ and Him crucified. And that's why we have that unity and communion together. In chapter 2 and 1, he speaks about the fellowship of the Spirit. You see, being a Christian is not simply making a decision. Oh, that's involved, but it's the Holy Spirit coming within you. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His tonight. Ah, but the Spirit of God that indwells you and you and you and you, the same Spirit indwells me. And that's why we have a fellowship. The Free Presbyterian Church is a family. Brothers and sisters in Christ, because we're born again by the same Holy Spirit. Amen. The fellowship of our church. Dwight Moody said there are two ways of being united, frozen together and melted together. Well, listen, we're not rusted together by ritualism or frozen together by formalism or linked together by liberalism. We are in fellowship together because of Christ and Him crucified. Amen. And I thank God for the fellowship of this denomination, because when I've wept, there have been those who've wept with me. When you've rejoiced, there's those who rejoice with us. Oh, I can't express tonight the wonderful feelings. In verse 4, Paul, speaking about this, said, making requests with joy for your fellowship. Listen tonight, if you've been in this church, you ought to thank God for the fellowship God has given us. Thank God for the fellowship of the church. Now, of course, we know God blesses other churches. We're not the only denomination in the world. We're not as arrogant to think that. But this is the church to which God has called us. Amen. And I thank God tonight for the formation of the church through the faith of the gospel and the fellowship of the gospel. But turn to verse 7. Look at this. This is tremendous. In the defense and confirmation of the gospel. I thank God as we look back over these 60 years for the fights of the church. This church has been involved in fights for the faith. Now, there's many evangelicals who say you don't need to defend the gospel. Isn't it strange then in verse 7 and also in verse 17, Paul said he was set for the defense of the gospel. Let me tell you, young person, there is still a battle for the Bible. There's still a fight for the faith. There's still a cause for which to contend. We are to guard the gospel. And the mantle is falling on you to do that. There are those who did it in the past and have done it. But young people tonight, you're in this meeting and the meeting's arranged. To thank God was also arranged for you young people tonight. Are you going to take up the sword of the Spirit? Are you going to stand and defend this glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? It needs to be defended from the cults and isms. It needs to be defended still from ecumenism that seeks to blur the distinctives of the gospel of Christ. It needs to be defended, especially in these days, from pseudo-evangelicalism, from those who profess to believe the gospel, but have a backbone like a jellyfish. And all they do is criticize those of us who do stand, who do oppose those who betray the gospel. Oh, there's a fight for the faith. A fight for the faith. And we remember with thankfulness the battles. We couldn't start relating them. Dr. Paisley could keep you here and tomorrow and through the next week telling you of the battles that he's fought over these years. I think of course, probably the most famous one. I was still at school when Cromwich Square took place. I came straight from school to the parade. It started about 6 o'clock or so, to the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church that was condoning modernism, rewarding with honors those ministers who attacked the Bible and attacked the gospel of Christ, who told their congregations, don't listen to those people, tell you you need to be saved. There were ministers in the pulpit saying that. And Dr. Paisley arranged a march to Cromwich Square. I'm almost tempted to ask, many of you were there that night. No, I can't see with my glasses on. Amen. Your wife was there, Alan. Amen. I was just a teenager. And we got down to the markets area. The bricks flew. And there was nobody in that march of church members retaliated in any way. It wasn't to do with anything about political. It was to go to the General Assembly. But the parade was attacked by nationalists. There was actually a fire extinguisher. I remember it coming over. And of course, you know all what happened there. You know, just a personal thing, because Dr. Paisley did mention those in school, and it reminded me. I was wearing my school blazer. And as we turned into May Street, there was our school chaplain. I went to Methody. Some others here went to Methody too. It was a C. David Brown here. And oh, the next day in school, I think I was 16 at the time. It was round about that time. It wasn't GCSEs, it was O-levels at that time, or split levels or something like that, they called them. And I got it the next day. You disgracing this school, wearing your uniform, associating with a man like that, and those people. Do you know, I remember young people being asked to remain behind. I was a little bit older. Because I'd write an essay on the man who most influenced your life, and you weren't allowed to write about our Savior. And I wrote, of course, about Dr. Paisley. Didn't go down too well with the teacher. And I was asked to wait behind. I'll never forget it. And the man, he seemed so sincere, and he was, "Oh, Ron, don't ruin your life." He says, "Ron, if you follow that man and go to that place, I'm telling you, you'll just be in trouble all your life and you'll never make anything out of your life." He was very wise, wasn't he? He did get into some trouble. But I want to say sincerely, I'd rather be in trouble defending the Lord's honour than sit at home with my feet up.
Amen.
And it's been a pleasure and a delight to stand in a little way with Dr. Paisley and others over these years. Oh, thank God for the fights of the battle. And Paul, when he's lying in jail, I believe he's looking back to those times. And this church is still standing. I think of Edinburgh last year. Mm-hmm. And oh, it was a great honour to stand in the centre of Edinburgh. It was a great honour to me personally to preach in the same building where John Knox held the First Presbyterian Assembly. Dr. Paisley was there, other ministers here, other elders, and to hold up the banner, one mediator between God and man, to be able to speak there at the monument to the martyrs who were burnt at the stake in Edinburgh. And we give out the message that this church still stands for the gospel of Christ and Him crucified. Thank God for the fights of the faith. You see, there's a wonderful fellowship when you're in the battle together. That's why tonight's a thrill to some of us who are older than some of you. As we think back to those days, we think back to the days of the 60s when there weren't too many around. And it was tough, and you were ridiculed, and you were laughed at. It wasn't pleasant, but you look back and you thank God. There's something about being in a battle together. Some of you, I'm sure, have served as soldiers. A lot of you know that my two oldest boys both served in Iraq with the Territorial Army. And when the first son went, my oldest boy, he was so agitated because he wanted to go. And then I remember a man in the church in Armagh said to me, "I envy your two sons. I was 34 years in the TA and never got to go to battle. I envy them their honour." Then I was in Scotland last year with my two oldest sons, and they met a serving captain who's still serving in the army in a Scottish regiment. He actually has an MBE for his services. And there I am. I said, "Here, there's my two sons." See, after that, I was out of it. Why? Because the three of them talked away about their experiences in Iraq and Basra and this and that. I hadn't a clue what they were talking about. Point I'm making in this, when you get soldiers who have been in the battle together, oh, what camaraderie. And in a spiritual sense, in a greater sense, thank God for this church going through the battles, that we have that love and fellowship one for another. Look at verse 12. Look at verse 12. Have to hurry on. See the last phrase? "Which happened unto me," these things have happened unto me for the furtherance of the gospel, "so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. He's talking about his imprisonment. Just go back for a moment to the end of verse 7. In the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are fellowshippers. Now, all right, partakers, I love the King James. I'm just making a point here. It's the same word, fellowship. Partaker, fellowship, it's the same word. You could say fellowshippers, partakers. What's he saying? The defense of the gospel. He's saying, I remember that when I was in jail before, you congregation stood with me. You didn't disown me when I went to jail. You fellowship with me. And now Paul is in jail in Rome. And he's writing back and he's telling this church, don't worry. Don't worry that I'm in jail. Because God's sovereign and is going to work for the furtherance of the gospel. And I'm old enough to remember the first Lord's Day when Dr. Paisley, Reverend Ivan Foster, Reverend John Wiley had been imprisoned. And Baroness Paisley stood up in Ravenhill to read a letter that Dr. Paisley had written in the prison cell, and that went on each week for the 3 months. Oh yes, it was heartbreak in one sense that our beloved pastor was incarcerated in Crumlin Road Jail. But oh, he sent us letters that are published in a little book, the messages from the prison cell that were read to us. My, they're great sermons, by the way, young preacher, if you want to learn to preach, get that wee booklet if it's still available. And we had these messages. Do you know the book of Philippians is a book from the prison to the congregation? And during those weeks, we got read to us Dr. Paisley's message from the prison cell. And oh, what an encouragement. My, there were some in tears that Sunday. Remember the clerk of session? Oh, he was so broken, but a godly man. But oh, the encouragement from Dr. Paisley and the other two brethren was, don't be discouraged. God's on the throne and it'll work out for the furtherance of the gospel. And what's happening? What happened here in Philippians chapter 1 happened to this church in 1966. Because through the imprisonment of the brethren, this denomination grew. Because around this province there were great rallies held. And men and women who never darkened a church door, they said to themselves, what? Protestant ministers put in jail? What's going on? And they came to Fields because meetings were banned within the Belfast region. You couldn't have an open-air meeting. But went out to the country areas and crowds gathered and souls were saved and churches were commenced. And we say tonight, as I look back, we can say, we salute you, Dr. Paisley, for your willingness to stand for the gospel and to suffer for the gospel. And also, Baroness Paisley, to you as well. It was difficult in those days to be months away from your husband and the young family at that time. Young people, the founders and early members of this denomination suffered. But they did it gladly because it worked out for the furtherance of the gospel. And today, this denomination has spread not only in Northern Ireland and Southern Ireland to the mainland. We've missionaries in Spain. We've missionaries in Kenya. Missionaries in Liberia. My wife and I, Lord willing, will go to Nepal on Wednesday to meet up with the Reverend Wesley Graham to open a Bible school in your name, the presbytery's name, that this denomination has subscribed money to. I'm told there'll be 70 pastors and their wives will be there for a week, because they told me I have to speak 14 times to them over the week. Thank God for the furtherance of the gospel through the LTBS, through the Consider Christ campaign last year, through the Christian schools. The testimony of this denomination has spread. One last one. The gospel, the faith, which was the formation of our church, the fellowship, the fights, the furtherance. But look at verse 27 a moment. Because there is an emphasis here, I believe, on the future. The future. Only let your conversation, that means your behavior, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Paul is saying, oh, I long that I will get news that you are living a life of integrity. And your everyday behavior is as those who love the gospel of Christ. That you will band together, be of one mind, of one spirit. That you will unite together for the striving and stand of the gospel. In other words, maintain the unity. Maintain the unity. And tonight as we gather here, we're saying we're going to maintain the unity. We're going to stand for Christ. You know, they tell me in the barrack room, sometimes soldiers have personality conflicts. They sometimes have disagreements. But you know, when the battle starts, they unite. And tonight we need to unite together and stand for Christ. And the word strive there means to agonize together. You see, the church isn't about us. The church isn't about personalities. The church doesn't exist for our glory. It's unto Him be glory in the church. And Paul later on, and actually in chapter 4, he speaks in verse 2 about two ladies. He loved them both, but he said, I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche, this is chapter 4 and 2, that they be of the same mind. I think it's Harry Arnside said their names are difficult to pronounce, so he just called them Odious and Soon Touchy. But they were both believers, and Paul says, listen, in the future, stand fast. Stand together. Be together for Christ and Him crucified. And he said earlier, remember I read the verse, from the first day until now, and thank God over these 60 years, this denomination is still standing where it always stood. But what about tomorrow? I wonder how long the church in Philippi stood firm for the gospel of Christ and Him crucified. I'm afraid I don't know. But a greater question to me tonight is, how will we stand in the future? Young person, how are you going to stand? Will you unite with those in this denomination to stand for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ? And that's why there's a rededication needed tonight. There's a rededication. My time is gone, so I'll not turn, but it's over in Nehemiah chapter 9 and 10. Read it when you go home. There are the people of Israel gathered together, and 8 times it says in chapter 10, will not forsake the house of the Lord, will not forsake the house of the Lord. And they wrote their name and they made a covenant. Now, I'm not asking you to write your name tonight, but that's an illustration in Nehemiah chapter 9 and 10 of a people that not in this moment of emotion, but the Bible says in that chapter, having understanding, that they banded themselves to cleave unto their brethren, that they would not forsake the house of the Lord. Will you do that tonight? It's been a time of remembering, but oh, there will be a time of rededication. How do you do that? Well, chapter 2 speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ and His humiliation. He who was in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, and He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even the death of a cross. But then we remember that God hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name that's above every name. And when you think of the Lord Jesus Christ who died for you, Christ and Him crucified, how He lives for you in glory and He reigns, then surely tonight you ought to dedicate yourself to Him. Wonder, would you do that tonight? Can you say in your heart, thank God for the faith of the gospel, because that gospel has saved me. Amen. Oh, if you're not saved tonight, you'll not find it in this church. You'll find it in what's preached in this church, or he who's preached in this church, but you'll not find it by joining the church. It's Christ. Christ and Him alone. Turn to Him tonight. But believer, rededicate yourself now. Amen. Consecrate yourself unto His service. And I pray that God would sanctify this church, continue to unify this church, edify this church, and multiply this church. Amen. Amen.